You did it. You finished a book and you ended up loving it. What will you do after you turn the last page? Will you take to the trails, reveal a truth, study social work, become a librarian, a psychologist, admit your life depends on a major change? Will you get on a stand-up stage, start therapy, try a new medication, volunteer for a cause you care about? Will you finally start celebrating your dweeby self? Now, yes, I know. Some of those are big, huge rites of passage type moves that you might make once in your life, maybe a couple times, truly life-altering. Talk about revisions. And it's impossible that every book, even the ones you absolutely adore, would move you to this kind of action. My truly hilarious conversation with voice actor Dana Snyder reminded me of the everyday joys, curiosities, novelties, and epiphanies that might rouse you unexpectedly as you wander through the library. When Dana shares with feverish exuberance his thoughts while wandering an airport before he boards, I stretch the metaphor into my thoughts while wandering the different sections in the library. So, okay, speaking of libraries, here's my plan for you right now. Go put your shoes on. Presumably you're dressed to some extent. If not, get dressed. Then get your bag or wallet or whatever you bring around with you. Go get in the car or start walking to the subway or the bus. Insert mode of transportation here. Head to your neighborhood library. Listen. Okay, in the history of the world, no one ever throughout all of civilization, if they were having a kind of bad day, then walked into the library and were like, oh my God, I feel so much worse. That has never happened, ever. Go directly to the library. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You might come across a weird book that jumps into your hands, a book that recognizes in you a what if or a fear or a hunger that flared awake a month ago or 10 years ago or last fall, but you had to let it go for whatever distraction. But then there it is today on the shelf, like a metaphysical call and response. This is what awaits you in libraries every day. Dana Snyder knows it. I know it. Libraries are calls to action, from rehab to a career change to watercolor. We're here for you. Come on in where you are free to be. On your way, Dana is going to reference his vintage menu collection, his ticket stub pile, and his extended family's handwritten recipes that his mom photocopied and bound for him as a gift. Our conversation begins today on that recipe theme with a 1969 edition of Betty Crocker's cookbook. This is Revisions, the podcast that explores how our favorite books change us. I'm your host, librarian and writer Jen Nails, and we're recording at the beautiful Enterprise Library in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, my and Dana Snyder's beloved hometown. My guest today is actor, writer, voiceover artist, and comedian Dana Snyder, who is known for hundreds of ridiculous characters like the one and only Master Shake from Adult Swim's Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Dr. Colosso from Nickelodeon's The Thundermans, the Ghost in the Disney series The Ghost and Molly Magee, and characters on SpongeBob SquarePants and Bob's Burgers, and so many others. You can chat Dana up at pretty much any Comic-Con around the world if that's your jam. He's the most fun, I would say zany, human being that you'll ever interact with. I am dying to hear about why he chose the Betty Crocker cookbook as one of the most memorable books from growing up. And by the end of our conversation, I hope we will have gotten a little glimpse into the young Dana William Snyder behind the comic genius. Dana Snyder, who, by the way, if you search him up, the internet has funny, non-agreeing information about Dana Snyder. Do you know what's so funny, Dana? Is that Wikipedia says you were born in 1973 or 1974.
Like I said.
That's my favorite. Like Dana Snyder's soundbite.
Just have one. Just put one at least. If it's wrong, just say.
But is that a reflection on Wikipedia more than a reflection on Dana Snyder?
Maybe both.
Dana Snyder grew up in Las Vegas, and Dana and I just have to give a shout out to Las Vegas. And Dana, do you remember the LVHS fight song? Could we sing it together?
Wait a minute.
Fight, fight, fight. We're all from Las Vegas.
No.
Okay. No clue. Okay.
I was never fighting. Okay. I was trying to make peace. Please calm down. We're all from Las Vegas. You're from Rancho. We don't need to fight.
Fine.
I was trying to get everybody calm down.
I was stirring things up. And yes. We were stirring things down.
Dana, that would have been great if I knew it, though.
It would have been great.
That would have been a great idea.
Or it's the mind of a person who stores useless knowledge in their brain, because I remember every word to the fight song and every word to the alma mater.
All I really remember is... Rest the jewel of the desert, dear Las Vegas, hi. Da, 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 which is the, but the, mm-hmm. that's the cheat because mm-hmm. I'm humming it because it's the melody of every alma mater.
Of course
song.
It is. Of course it is.
Valiant red and black.
Right into the fight song. I can see Miss K doing
see,
it.
I wasn't in band.
Right.
I think that's why you know it a
you're
lot
right.
better.
You're right. True. Thank you.
Because you had to perform it and learn it and...
Right. And do it.
Did you represent play... the school. Now, you played the French horn.
Yeah.
But did you play that also in, like, the marching band? That's
God
a marching instrument, right?
But how wonderful are you to ask that question? I did not play the French horn in marching band because I played the mellophone, which is a marching French horn.
Okay, that's what I wondered, because I figured there's got to be some...
Yep.
Side instrument that's made for... Like you're not playing the tuba, you're playing the sousaphone.
Right.
If you're the tuba guy.
Yes.
Because you got to have that.
Dana's doing like a tuba dance.
The tuba guy march.
Okay. Well, Dana and I grew up in Las Vegas together. And Dana, before we talk about Betty Crocker.
Yes.
What's your take on...
I'm very bad at answering questions. I either deflect them or I start jibber jabbering and then I forget what the question even was.
That's why.
So just.
Whatever
it's called.
You're perfect.
Fair warning before you live thinking you're going to hear a beautiful story about a boy and his cookbook. It's going to all
crying.
Fall apart.
Before we start, we're in a library. We both grew up in Las Vegas in the 70s and 80s.
We went to high school together.
So.
And your dad was. In charge of the high school.
Dad was in charge of the high school.
Your dad basically,
yeah.
He basically got me, made sure I got to go on to college. Well. I do owe him a lot. I did that. Only reason I'm here is not for you. You understand? It's not for anything to do with you. Your father, I owe.
I just want to ask you, what is your memory of any library experience when we were growing up versus walking into the Enterprise Library today with this beautiful podcasting studio?
Versus. I mean, I had great memories of the library because my mom used to take me when I was little. And here's the thing. I don't remember what library it was, but it was like the super good one.
Okay.
They had in the children's section, they had like a theater in the back of it where they would do like, you know, Rumpelstiltskin. And I thought these were like, you know, straight from Broadway, the library production of Rumpelstiltskin. Probably in reality, it was like a 17-year-old kid. And I was like, wow, there's so much experience up there on that stage.
Yes.
But I remember, and they would do readings and things. And then when I was in elementary school, we had our AT class. They always had a question every week. Mm. Like, you know, what's the largest mammal on earth? And you'd have to, I didn't understand the rules.
To this day.
To answer this question.
Yeah.
So I don't know what library it was.
I have a feeling it may have been the Flamingo Library.
That could probably
on
be.
Flamingo New Maryland
like
Parkway.
Seemed like it was the biggest, nicest, because we didn't go there all the time. That was like a special, like they're doing a kid thing or something.
Yeah.
And the children's department just seemed like the whole size of this library.
Yeah.
It just seemed incredible.
Yeah. Okay, that's so good.
But I love that it was more than just books.
Yeah.
It was like, it was alive. There were like things to do. But when I got into AT.
Wait, can you just, like, what does AT stand for?
Academically talented. Thanks for asking. I didn't even have to take the test. They just put me right in there. It basically was you got out of class for an hour to go to Miss Gasho's class.
Okay.
Who ended up, by the way, being the principal of Snyder Elementary.
What? That's so special.
So that was like an interesting. Anyway, I would call the Flamingo Library and say, "Hi, what's the largest mammal on Earth?" And the lady go, "Hold on a second." And she go, "Look it up." And then I'd just write it down and I'd waltz in there on Friday like, "Here you go, baby. It's a polar bear, unless you wanted the, there's also a blue whale."
Oh my
God.
I
didn't realize the whole point was you get your own ass to the library and look in the encyclopedias. I just called the library because they would tell you.
Of course they would, because that's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this. I love imagining little Danny calling the library on the maybe the rotary phone, getting the info, bringing it to Miss Gasho. What I love many things about the libraries, working for the libraries, but people still do call. People still do call and say, could you look up blah, blah, blah for me? I don't have internet in my home.
How old is John Grisham?
Exactly.
Hold on.
Exactly. Yes. Right, right. Or people even will call.
I'm trapped in a ravine and don't have the internet. Could you please?
Right. We're there for you.
Yeah.
As we were at the Flamingo Library in 1982. Okay, that is beautiful. Now,
so how great of modernizing the library that they have podcast studios.
I know. It's so brilliant. You have to take
this should be
a
in
workshop.
The show, by the way.
It should be in the show. This whole bit.
Do this.
Absolutely.
Because it's informative.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you have to take a class.
You have to take a class.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not just
learn the board. No, you're
walking in here.
Right. No, no, no. It's not for any schmo to just walk in off the street. Okay. So, Dana.
Okay,
here's the thing. No.
All right. But, do your thing and I'll shut up until you talk to me.
Okay, right. You be quiet until I talk to you.
Okay.
So, here's what's going to happen.
That's gold. That's after.
That's it. That's done.
What? That's after-hours library
bloopers.
Chat. You put that in after-hours.
My idea for this podcast comes out of my very favorite conversation that I would have with kids when I was a school librarian. I'm now a public librarian. And the conversation went like this. Students and I would talk about, you know, you're in a couple different camps when you're a young learner, and you either like you love reading, you saw your parents reading all the time, and so you took the cue and you're a reader, or you're kind of like a little bit reluctant, but you read it if you have to, if it's an assignment for class, or you might just be totally turned off by the whole idea. You can't understand why anyone would do it. So we would talk about how everybody has that one book that was either assigned to them or they found their way to because a friend was reading it. And that book speaks to them. They saw themselves in it. I didn't make up this concept. Every librarian loves this conversation too. I think it encouraged kids who didn't like reading as much to know like, okay. Because I would say, you know, some people find that book when they're 8. Some people find that book when they're 27. And once you find it, great. You kind of know the secret about reading and how it could be fulfilling and good and enriching and inspiring. It doesn't mean you're going to be snap
your fingers.
I have a different
book.
Press stop. Let's reschedule for 8 weeks.
No, I'm sure it's here.
Oh my God, this is like hot off the presses, but we still need to talk about Betty Crocker. But I love that you're thinking this though. What's that book?
I got to tell you, I find this to be an extremely difficult question.
Okay, but
that was a question I could not answer. I don't remember. I always read. I was not someone who did not read, but I cannot remember like a book that I would say so stuck out, because that seems like a question when you answer it, something immediately pops into your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite food? Even if you don't have three things are going to pop in your head.
Yeah.
And one of them is pizza. And whatever the other two are.
Yeah.
But like.
Yes. I will tell you, just in terms of people choosing the book that they want to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Some people were like, oh, it's definitely this book. Mm-hmm. Others were similar to you. So I totally get it. And I feel like I had one when I was like 8, which was Ramona the Brave. But then when I read A Prayer for Owen Meany when I was like 24, I get it that there might be several. But
yeah, I mean, I guess it's in phases.
Yeah.
Because we're different. I mean, you're not the same person you are when you were 8 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, some things fundamentally probably are the same.
Yeah.
But I mean, hopefully we're not the same.
Right.
We've learned something and we've grown a little bit.
Yes.
Even a little bit. Pray. But like, yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
That question, it's very difficult for me.
Okay.
I mean, there's been books I've read like that I almost more recently in the last half of my life now than in the first half mm-hmm. that stick out more. But I always remember like being little and reading Snowy Day with with one or both of my parents, but I mean, like, they're just fond memories. It's not a life changing book. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I made a snow angel. It's not like, and then I started making snow angels, and that's why I own Snow Angel Incorporated, which is my multi-billion-dollar business I now run. I loved all the Shel Silverstein books.
Yeah,
like I thought those were great.
Yeah.
And then only later I learned, like, a lot of them he had written as songs. Then I mm-hmm. found recordings of him doing that. I was like, well, this is an evergreen right here. And, like, yes. I remember we read, like, you know, Beezus, all those, what's her name, Beverly Cleary. Yes. And,
yep.
Like, I mean, they were all nice, but I wasn't like, boom,
change
baby,
your life.
This is it. It's a very difficult question.
Yes.
I mean, I feel, because I like reading, and I feel better when I'm reading, I also love the Foxfire books. There's different books about different things. So one is about, you know, like game and fish.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be like, here's how to cook a whole wild boar. And then there's recipes like, take 2 whole boar heads, chop up the jaws, but save the cheeks for later. We'll need those later. But it's about that, but it's also like how to make your own moonshine still, how to make your own instruments. Like uh-huh. there's different... I don't know what, like different areas of study. Like mm-hmm. there's cooking ones.
Yeah.
There's ones about just like how to build a cabin and how to build furniture mm-hmm. if you just found yourself in the middle of the woods. And then there's another one about like, you know, sewing and making clothes and making cloth and, mm-hmm. and you know, all the fiber arts. Like there's probably 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated with though, because it's filled with pictures and it'll be like, here's, you know, here's Hambone showing you how to get the hairs off the boar. And there's like weird, and they're all like, everybody looks like if you were an outsider, they would not want you. You would not be very welcome. They all look like, yeah, uh-huh. I don't know how this guy got these pictures, but like, uh-huh. you know, but they're fascinating. I'm sure they're in the library.
I'm sure they are.
Because I did look them up and they've just made like a new reprinting of them and everything, but they're still the original.
Okay. Were they like, how old were you when you discovered them?
I discovered them.
Would you say?
Probably like maybe like 13 or 14.
Okay.
Because we were at church and Pastor Ray mm-hmm. made some comment about the Foxfire books.
Okay.
Because they also had ones that were about music.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really like a document more than but they do have, all of them, they are instructional.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, you know, Edame Redbone every morning wakes up and shoots a squirrel for breakfast. Here's her recipe. So it'll tell you like a little story and it'll talk about it, but then it'll go into something that whatever they're doing, like, and here's how she makes her three-legged stools or whatever. But I was like, what is that? I got to find that
uh-huh.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So then like when we were little, there was not internet, so I went to the library mm-hmm. and found, I was like, wow, there's a bunch of these. Because it was like Foxfire 1, Foxfire 2, Foxfire 3. There's like 10 of them or
gold
20
mine.
Of them.
Yeah. Gold mine.
But it was just fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like when I go to the airport, even still, I get excited because I'm like, man, I could just go anywhere right now. I could mm-hmm. go anywhere in the world.
Uh-huh.
I could just run on that plane to Tokyo right there. I don't need to go to Sacramento. Go there.
Yeah.
Munich, Germany. Yes. Get right on there. Buenos Aires. Hello, Buenos Aires. You got all these possibilities. And that's what I feel like with these kind of books. Like, okay, if I could just get two boar's heads, I could make that thing.
I never
thing.
Thought like, about it before.
I could
but...
do that. Like, it's not, if you can follow instructions,
you
and
can
like, yeah,
a
you
whole
know
boar
it's not
going to
be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm always super into crafting. I do all kinds of crafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always,
not surprised.
First thing I do, get every book.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier now. And not as fun, but also a lot clearer sometimes because you have YouTube videos and whatever you're into.
Yeah.
I would go to the library, get like whatever I decided. Oh, watercolor. Mm. Painting watercolor. Great. Guess what? Assholes checking out 25 books. Can I get through them all? No.
Of course
but
not.
But I wanted to look at all of them, and it's always fascinating how different. What's always helpful for me is getting a bunch of different ones. That's why I love Libby now, because you can like,
so
you know,
good.
You can get a bunch of them and you don't have to, I don't want to keep them necessarily. I would like maybe one, but I want to know what it is first. That's the beauty of the library too, with kind of books like that. The like your, I don't know what you call them. What section are they in? You're the librarian. Instructional?
Well, they would be whatever.
Let's say
whatever
this.
The content is,
weaving?
They would be in that. That would be like in like crafts.
Okay, crafts.
You know?
Okay, yeah, that's a big like, section for me.
Yeah.
I like that. Here's my sections.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you were a section
right,
at the
right,
library.
Right, what would you be? Ooh, that's a goodie.
I'm telling you,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is,
yeah.
thank God you did
Gold.
Me first.
God
this is,
damn it. Okay.
I would definitely be craft section
okay.
and travel section. Because those are probably the most, because also those are the ones you want to get, not buy.
Yeah.
And return.
Yes.
Like I don't need to keep. My, you know, California Coast road trip book for the one time I
exactly.
took a trip on the California road.
Yeah, sometimes I buy the travel books though, because if I'm going on like a trip that is going to be special,
yeah.
I like to I like to look at that and be like, oh my God, arches and wherever the hell
yep.
else we went, national parks. I loved that I had that book, but yeah, no. Some things are definitely library checkouts.
I also have a fundamental. I have made a fundamental shift in my books over the last like. Maybe 10 years.
Okay.
And it has been, when I used to have books, I wanted to keep them pristine.
Oh.
I wanted them to look brand new. I wanted to put them on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I would read them,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted like nothing. And then I found one book that when I was little, because I also super loved the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh,
those.
Yes.
I loved, but I found one of them, and for whatever reason, I think I was trying to do like a flip book in the corner.
Mm, okay.
You know, in the margin.
Yeah. Like you found one of your old ones?
One of mine okay. that little Danny had written little things in the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that now makes this book much more valuable to me than the other books that have nothing. So now, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, when I get mm-hmm. books, even my travel books, mm-hmm. I it's like almost on purpose, I write in them as much as I can. I circle things.
Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, like your arch is like, walked here Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Like, what Wednesday?
Yeah.
What
yes.
do we know?
Yes.
But it's like, and then I think like, oh, maybe I'll leave little clues for the next person whoever
yes.
finds this book.
Yes.
Like, they are. They're more precious when you make them yours rather than just leaving them like, well, the next guy will want it. Like, but who cares about the next guy? And maybe the next guy doesn't.
And like, what does the next guy
but
mean?
Like, yeah, like wouldn't you rather find the Betty Crocker cookbook that your grandmother had that she's written all over it, Ramblings of a Crazy Woman, than
yeah.
getting this pristine copy that has nothing in it and say like, this was your grandmother's. Like,
yeah.
no, you want, because then it's like a piece of history as opposed to just an artifact.
Yes.
It's got, there's life in it.
Yeah.
And even if you don't agree with whatever it says.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes it so much more interesting to me.
I want to know about Betty Crocker.
I mean, okay, this is a real cop out because this represents a type of book. Well, first off, this book, yes, absolutely. This
oh.
was this is my mother's copy of this
yeah.
I brought here today.
Yeah.
Now, the good one, not this garbagey one.
that I thought used.
How are you going to keep the...
You're never going to do that.
You can't,
nope.
You can't hold it open.
It's a shitty paperback edition.
This goes into many of my interests. I collect old menus.
Ooh.
Like real old. I have one from the Foodtorium, which was apparently some type of cafeteria at Caesar's Palace.
What? That's like weird. I don't even remember that.
What I love about it is there's just such weird stuff that food would never be eaten or made anymore.
Okay.
But I just randomly opened this. I you saw me.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Let me just, here's four of the things on this page.
Okay.
Batter Franks, Creole wieners, sassy sausages, and Polynesian ham loaf. Now, nothing of those. By the way, my brother and I were talking this morning about school lunch.
Oh, God, yes.
And he goes, elementary school at our school, he goes, Dana, do you remember beef fingers? I said, what? I forgot about beef fingers. And they were fried, reconstituted sticks of beef that were then put in the lunch tray, sealed, the cardboard lunch tray sealed with plastic, and then steamed back to life before lunch came. So they were just weird little floppy, soggy. Imagine the worst fish stick, but if it had more beef flavors to it. But, so there's like weird thing in these things. But I did used to look through her, my point is I used to look through her cookbook.
Yeah.
Which is great, by the way, because it's like, you know, spiral bound. Yes. And like if you wanted, you could, I guess you could take the page out. Yes. And put it over by you.
Yeah.
And it's got all this neat, like I like the way it had like its own little tabs. Yes. Separating each section.
Yep.
But like what I hate about it, at the beginning, so you got appetizers and beverages. Fine. We're going to go like a order of a meal.
Right.
Bread. Great. And then all of a sudden, cakes and frostings, cookies and candies, and then desserts.
But it's in alphabetical order. No,
you're thinking like a librarian.
But no, you're right. It's more intuitive to be meal.
I'm thinking about
your stomach.
So
God damn it.
So it's vegetables last, main dishes, meats. Okay, so not main dishes.
Right. Why is
after
M?
After meats.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. Librarians aren't always right. Just from remember this, that when you're coming.
That's
in.
What.
I had one goal today, debunk the library. Defund the shelves with these power hungry librarians. We're sitting in a squillion dollar building. There's two people in here. Where's the money going? Not to the books. I'm looking at empty shelves over here. Look at that shelf right there. Empty. Half filled.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, there's eight. It says library parking only outside. The eight Ferraris parked outside.
Everyone, library. You are like stereotyped down the line.
All with vanity plate, like love to read.
Right.
Book me. Due date. All the library and vanity plates. Anyway,
it's such a thing.
But what I like about this, and
yes,
I've
please.
Always loved about books at the library, is it's not self-help. I don't know what section it is. It's like the instructional books.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
I used to look at this book and has, you know, this edition is from, there's a bunch of issues and they keep updating it. Like
of course.
It's, but here, you can look at this one. This is a newer.
Your mom
this
kept
is a newer
him
version.
In such good condition.
That is not hers.
Okay.
That one is the one I'm donating to the library.
Oh, Danny.
Which I figured you should, for your podcast, you Danny. Should have everyone give one of these. So this is a little bit newer,
ooh,
but it's the same premise.
That muffin looks so good.
But I always like getting books from the library that really did, like I still do it, that are like instructional.
Yeah.
Like a woodworking book. Or I was also fascinated at the same time with these. But these I had from my house. So I would find my mom's like oldest cookbooks and look up all those weird like sassy sausage thing. Like, why would you?
Is
why
that
would
your
you
next
have
character?
Two cans of pineapple cores and condensed milk. Why would anyone even make that? And it's for a buffet? A potluck dish? Oh, like it all. But there's some things. I still make, there's a chili recipe that's a very basic. I'm sure someone in Texas would murder you if you tried to serve them that time. But it's like what I grew up with. And oddly enough, my mother-in-law also makes, my mom makes that chili. And as does my mother-in-law, it tastes exactly the same, whether I'm on the East Coast or the West Coast. That's my mom beautiful. Also uses that for all the pie crust, mm-hmm. or pie crust recipe, mm-hmm. and there's beef stew.
No. I think that's special, and I think that's moving.
I mean, all my things will be thrown away into a dumpster the second I die. Trust me.
But no, I love the reference to the next guy, you know, like, yeah, who is know. That? But I love the concept of, like, you becoming a part of the book and you putting mm-hmm. down what's going on with you when you and that book met each other. And yes. I wanted to share, Dainey, that when I was writing my second novel, 100 Spaghetti Strings, I used...
Find it at your local library.
I used my mom's Better Homes and Gardens, and I should have brought it. To show it to you.
Her cookbook?
Her cookbook, because it looks like this one. It mm-hmm. looks like your mom's. But I don't know if you took out all the notes and clippings and index cards that were in here or if your mom just didn't do that. But my mom's was thick and fat as your mom's uh-huh. is. But my mom's was doubly fat because it was shoved.
She put
with,
all the stuff in
she
there.
She would cut out from like the RJ yes. from like yes. 1968, like a pot wow. roast recipe.
Aspic mold in Art- the Reader's Digest. Yes.
But it was like, I loved going through all the recipes because there were, it was like artifact, a time capsule. Mm-hmm. Because it was like my mom's handwriting mm-hmm. from like the 70s, you know?
Yes.
And like, this is so making a stereotype about housewives, whatever, but I don't care. So it was like, you know, recipes shared with my mom and the neighbor women,
oh, sure,
you
yeah.
know, and their handwriting. And just like different recipes from our family. And so I totally, what I'm loving about your story and you talking about books, among many things, is that I think what you're talking about is like this, just seeing this book when you were a kid, looking at that book and like knowing it was there and seeing your mom taking from that book to like make your family, mm-hmm. make your, the boar that your mom would fix yes. at on Sundays.
That boar head cheese.
See?
She would make.
But so like maybe sometimes can a book that saved your life be a book that you didn't read cover to cover? Can it be, is it, you know, also, is there something to be said for books that are around that give you comfort, that are familiar, that you see a loved one like utilizing and using and coming back to?
Oh, sure.
You know, and so it doesn't always have to be, it doesn't have to be Judy Blume.
I mean, this isn't me, but I'm sure there are a lot of people who cherish like their grandmother's Bible.
Right.
They ain't read the Bible. Oh. They ain't read one page of the Bible. But it's probably the most precious book in their
right.
house.
Right.
And then you get yeah. into those ones where, like, you know, the real old ones where, like, you write down the marriages and the babies
yes.
and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. All the genealogy and stuff that I never really got into.
Yeah.
I mean, too anyway. Much. Okay. So, yeah, damn. I'm thinking I wish I would have brought that cookbook, but whatever.
It's side fine. Note.
Side note.
1 year for Christmas. My mother, so she doesn't have all that stuff in here because she has like an index card file
okay.
that has all yeah. that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Joy Snyder. She would.
My
she
grandfather's
would.
Crab cake recipe
yes.
and his barbecue and my Nanny L's yeah. Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of heart clogging. It's not a lot of health nut when you go past like two generations.
Well,
you're not going to get a lot of yeah. those sassy sandwiches really weigh on your sassy sausages. But what my mother did, she went through all that stuff. Some of them were handwritten, you know, because she'd be like, hey, Dad, write down what your recipe to make those Jesus grapes. But she made high quality photocopies of all that stuff and gave them to my brother and I like in a bound book. Like, here's all your family recipes. Because the other thing I collect, too, is those real weird, like, from a local Rotary Club cookbook. Where like everyone sent a and it's always like, see who the real weirdo is in this particular group of people. Cause one person will have like a weird, like, do not eat that. How would you even make it? Oh, people love it. It's like, you're always taking it home though. There's half a scoop out of that dish and then the rest goes home. But I love all those, like, you know, New South Palmetto Housing Development's Woman of the Year cookbook. Just weird, like, or like the restaurant ones, like, you know, like everything at Chi Chi's.
Yeah.
Here's the Chi Chi's cookbook.
Speed round. Speed round question is.
This is a real thing.
First speed round is book assigned in English class you never read.
Animal Farm.
Oh, snap. Have you read it since?
Nope.
Uh-huh.
I stand by my decisions.
Mine was The Sun Also Rises, Hemingway.
Oh.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
No interest. No interest then. No interest now. What about any books you read you did read in English class that you either liked or didn't like, but you actually read it?
What's that one? 1983.
Yeah,
is that
that's really good. That was a good one.
Who wrote that one?
By Blorge Blorwell.
Oh yes, Blorge Blorwell. Yes, I think I read that one.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But that didn't do much for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to here's the other thing. It's hard to read a book over the course of like 17 weeks, one chapter at a time, and then you have to read it, and then you have to wait another like 5 days before you move to the next
period.
One.
Yeah. Such a good point. Do you know what I did love is The Crucible? Not necessarily for the story, but we read it out loud in Miss Carter's class, and this boy, Jimmy, was Giles Corey, and he had like
more
a funny.
Weight.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And he did such a bang up job. And so, like, everybody was into it and everybody laughed. So, when the book came to life, I liked it. And maybe that's why I liked it, because I wasn't a big reader in high school.
Yeah, I feel like there was just too much stuff going on.
Exactly. I would say the same. Okay. Ebook or paper?
I've moved from paper books because I got too much crap.
To ebooks?
Libby.
Libby. How much do we love Libby?
I bought a Kindle.
Okay.
As soon as I hear you can get them on, move the Libby books to Kindle.
You can.
Forget
I can show
it.
You how to
oh,
do
no,
that
I do
if you'd
it.
Love.
No, I do.
Oh,
that's all
okay.
I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I buy it if I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the problem.
Okay.
I travel a lot.
Yeah.
I always prefer a real book.
Yeah, because?
Because I like the feel of it. I like to hold it. I like to look at it. However, I do not get real books unless they're instructional, something I want to keep.
Yeah, right.
But because I travel so much, I love that I have my Kindle for two things. I can get on the plane and I have 150 books with me. Or when I wake up like I do every night at 2:30 in the morning, restless and can't sleep,
I
can turn my Kindle on
and
it's quietly lit up.
Yeah.
I'm not disturbing the four people I sleep with. We have one big bed. We're all there. It's a landlady roommate situation that got out of control. I can't control it now. A lot of bad choices were made, and now we're whoever leaves first loses the place. So we're all just staying there.
Sadly, my
heart is with the real book.
Yes.
The situation of my
course.
Life
right.
is Kindle.
Absolutely. Right. Well, I would say, I mean, anybody would probably say that you're still experiencing a story. We're getting kicked out of the studio in 4 minutes.
Okay,
I have
that's
one
great.
Final. Okay. What's the age you think you'll kind of always be at heart and why?
I think I'm definitely 75. Juvenile, but yes, is 13 and 83 a possibility?
Yes.
And
yes.
Not in the middle. Yes. Both.
At the same time.
Like, can a 13-year-old have lower back issues and complain that kids and people don't put their turn signals on when they turn? Is it possible to be like a cranky octogenarian 13-year-old who doesn't know how his body works yet, but yet feels every pain and bad eyesight, complaining about the soaring cost of reading glasses?
It's all possible. It's all possible.
I guess I always feel like I'm 25, but also still 80. That 85-year-old thing is just cranky. Just slightly disapproving of everything all the time. I shouldn't be. I don't know why I'm cranky. I got a great life. I have a great job. I work in a fun factory, the fun business. I don't even have to do anything. I show up. They say, oh, can you make a fart noise in here for 5 minutes? I get a check. I walk home. I can pay for anything I want to do within reason. I could go do it. I don't have to, like, I'm not under massive financial pressure. Still mad and cranky about everything. Doesn't make any sense.
But you couldn't be Dana unless you just said all of those things. That's and the they're problem. All true. And
That's
they're all
the
true.
They're 100%
no,
true.
No, it's not. It's
a curse.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was so fun. I'm gonna stop the recording. Thank you once again so much for joining me. I'm writer and librarian Jen Nails, and this has been Revisions, How Our Favorite Books Change Us. To check out all things Dana Snyder, circa 1973 or 1974, just Google him and you'll get like a billion hits. He's too cool for a website. No, now you know, he really is too cool for a website. For book recommendations inspired by this conversation, find me at JenNailsIt19 and visit your local library. Special thanks to the Las Vegas Clark County Library District, especially Kat, Richard, Tom, and Gloria at East Vegas Library, and Kevin, Chris, and Marie at Enterprise Library. Also, much gratitude to Ryan and Ermal, and to my friends Sam and Larry D for answering all my podcasting questions, and to Erica and Brandy for their amazing artwork. Thank you once again to my guest, the one, the only, Dana Snyder. And thank you, listener, for hanging out with me and all of my incredibly wonderful guests this first season of Revisions. If you liked what you heard, look for season 2 in spring of 2025 and spread the word. Remember, libraries are free.